today as we come to the table.
Pestilence, viruses, things like that. We need someone to rescue us. We need a hero to set us free. And we're going to see that he comes on the scene. And when he takes over, if you will, he's going to put a system in place where everyone can be tracked. That is, everyone will take a mark. We'll see that later in Revelation 13 on their hand or their forehead, probably a computer chip, some type of data tracking mark, if you will. And I used to wonder so long, why in the world would everybody be willing to take some kind of mark? And why would the world be willing to go along with this? Have we not seen that if the world is scared enough, they will go along with whatever the government tells them? Guys, we just got a trial run here.
When the Antichrist comes, even many Christians may have to take a second take before realizing who he is. He isn't going to be reviled in our world. He won't seem evil. Many people may even see them as an answer to prayer. He'll come at a time when we're all desperate and looking for someone to unite and save mankind. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, while the coronavirus pandemic may have not been a specific fulfillment of end times prophecy, it has brought our world much closer to the conditions necessary for the mark of the beast to be welcomed under the guise of safety and convenience. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 6 as he begins his message, The First Six Seals.
Chapter 6 of Revelation. Now, if you remember, we saw last week the Lamb taking the scroll. That is, I believe, probably the title deed to the earth. And if it's not, it definitely is his right to the earth. As he begins to break these seals, we're going to see the first seals broken, that he takes that title deed and opens it back up, basically running Satan off the planet, bringing his judgments on the planet during this time after the rapture. And that brings us up to chapter 6, where we see the Lamb beginning to open these seals. And as he opened these seals, you begin to see all these catastrophes begin to happen. By the way, those who say they try to separate the God of the Old Testament from the New Testament and act like somehow it's a different God, they say the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath and the God of the New Testament is a God of peace and love. You're going to see now the wrath of the Lamb in the New Testament starting here in chapter 6 on. It's not that God enjoys that. It's not that the Lord wants to do that. I'm wanting you to understand it's the same God throughout the Bible. He is very gracious. He is very merciful. He is very forgiving. But for those who continue to shake their fist in his face, there will be a payday. And that's simply what the Bible teaches. And now we get into that starting here in chapter 1. Look what it says, verse 6, or actually chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I saw when the Lamb, remember we identified the Lamb of as Jesus Christ, and of course he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world here in John's vision. When I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder. Again, imagine that. The voices of the angels and the voice of the Lord sounds like thunder. It just shakes everything. I love that. Power. He says, come and see. And I looked and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, when we hear a white horse in America with all of our movies and growing up, we tend to think of the good guy, right? This is not the good guy. Jesus will come back as the good guy on a white horse. We're going to see that later. But there's an imposter that will come first. And he's going to present himself as someone in place of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, again, as we referred to him, he's going to present himself to the world as the savior of the world, the one who's come to rescue the world from all their problems. This is him showing himself now on the scene. Now, again, how do we know this is not the Christ, but this is the Antichrist coming as an imposter? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, notice this. He says, he who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him. Number one, the bow has no arrows. Notice that. It's just a bow. And what that means is, and what we're told in other portions of Revelation as well as Daniel, is that when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, he's going to present himself as the good guy, the savior of the world. He's going to come in with peace and intrigue. He will have power, but he will not be threatening at first. That is, he will have the bow. It can shoot the weapons, but he won't be showing any arrows. He's going to come with peace. He's going to come with intrigue. He's going to look like the hero that has this great strength, but it's strength under control, if you will. And notice, not only did he have a bow without arrows, also he has a crown, and the crown was given to him. Now, in the language, we find out this is a temporary crown. It is a Stephanos. It is a crown made of leaves that was given to those who won a temporary race in the Olympics or things like that. This is not an eternal crown. The Bible tells us that Jesus wears an eternal crown. Now we see this imposter on the white horse wearing a temporary crown because he will be given power to rule and reign temporarily on the earth. But then in addition to that, also it says this crown was given to him. Jesus had no crown given to him. He's always had it. His crown has always been in place. Even when he came as a man to die for our sins, his crown was in place and it was unchallenged. He didn't need a crown given to him. He has a crown. So we see this particular individual is given a crown. He appears to have power, but he's not threatening at first. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, another way we know that this is not the Christ, if you will, is because now the rest of the seals following this, there's going to be great destruction for many years and disaster. We're going to see throughout the tribulation period. And remember, when Jesus comes back in the second coming on his white horse, he's going to establish his throne and there'll be peace worldwide and he'll rule and reign. So here's how we know several of the reasons we know that indeed this is the false prophet, this is the Antichrist. And some comments about him before we move on to the second seal. And that is this, he's going to come in looking like our hero. See, here's the world, we're panicked. We're all dying, we have viruses. And the Bible says one of the signs of the last days, pestilence, viruses, things like that. We need someone to rescue us. We need a hero to set us free. And we're going to see that he comes on the scene. And when he takes over, if you will, he's going to put a system in place where everyone can be tracked. That is, everyone will take a mark. We'll see that later in Revelation 13 on their hand or their forehead, probably a computer chip, some type of data tracking mark, if you will. And I used to wonder so long, why in the world would everybody be willing to take some kind of mark? And why would the world be willing to go along with this? Have we not seen that if the world is scared enough, they will go along with whatever the government tells them? Because we just got a trial run here. This is going to happen, and it's going to be happening as greater and greater things that are more threatening happen heading into the last days. And I believe this is how it's going to unfold. As a matter of fact, I think you already see the coronavirus being used this way, the vaccines and all that go with that. But the bottom line is they're already able to track the vaccines to a degree. The vaccines that are distributed, this will not be the mark of the beast. Let me say about the vaccines. I'll give you more maybe next week about the vaccines. I've got some more research to do, and I want to give you some information so you can make wise decisions for yourself. But the bottom line is the vaccine is something that is going to be trackable by the government in that they can track who has the shot and when they got the shot and where they got the shot. With the particular syringes, I find it interesting, they have allowed, it doesn't mean they will, and don't take this out of context, they've allowed a chip to be attached to each of the syringes, according to the federal government, not a chip in the shot. No one's getting a chip with the shot. I want to make sure everybody knows that. Mark is not saying there's a chip in the shot, all right? This is also not the mark of the beast. That will be given by the Antichrist when he takes power. So if you take the shot, you're not taking the mark of the beast. I want to make sure everybody understands that. What's interesting is it says they're leaving it up to the states as to whether or not they put the chip on the syringe. Why? So they can track the people that get the shot with a number, and they'll know who got it, who didn't. You'll be number 822 or whatever. They can show, yes, okay, Mark got the shot. Here's when he got it. Here's where he got it. And so I literally have a number attached to me on paper, not in me, not on me, but attached to me, okay? Getting a little freaky, isn't it? Okay, now, why is that important? Because the airlines are now announcing, the airlines, one has and one's talking about it, and it's going to fall like dominoes. You watch this. I predicted this was going to happen. They're not going to let you fly unless you have the shot. Qantas Airlines just announced, nobody flies Qantas. Now, they're Australian. Unless you're going over there, mate, don't worry about it. But Qantas has already said, you cannot fly. Once the shot comes out, You must take the shot to be able to fly Qantas Airlines. Well, guess who else just said they want to do that as well? Delta Airlines. Now, if Delta does it, everybody else is going to do it. It's going to fall like dominoes. And what's going to happen is you want to fly on a plane. Look, you don't have to take the shot. You don't have to do that at all. But you can't fly. I hope you like to drive. Or maybe take the train. But you won't be able to fly. And probably the way it'll happen is it'll be gradual. And this will be everybody. See, nobody's forced. You're free for now. But what'll happen is the heat will turn up more and more on every avenue. You don't have to eat at Cheesecake Factory, but without proof you have the shot. You don't have to. Nobody's going to make you. But I like cheesecake. Well, you can get it, you know, somewhere else. You see what's going to begin to happen, I believe. You're going to see more and more pressure, businesses, companies, and a lot of it will be political at first, depending on where they sit in that. But this is, again, it's much larger. It's a spiritual thing. And until finally it reaches the ultimate where the Antichrist will say, you know what, this is crazy. We all have to take this, and you're going to have to take it. Now, we're going to be out of here before that. I believe that with all my heart. Probably the way it'll start out, if you get the shot, at some point they may give you some card. Okay, this proves you had the shot. So if you want to go fly Delta or Qantas, and again, Delta hadn't made it official yet, but if you want to fly these airlines, you just show them your card, they scan it, and boom, you're on there. What happens if I lose my card or forget my card or I can't, you know, whatever. This is crazy. This is nuts. We need something we can keep with us everywhere we go. Anybody have any ideas? Why don't we just put some kind of data thing on us? And that way it shows we've had the shot. It does everything. It can do a lot of fun things too, like bank accounts and movies and keep over their records. What about it? That's just, it's so smart. You know, beep, I got my groceries. I used to wonder, how could this happen? It is so logical now, it blows my mind. Says at the end of Daniel chapter 12, when this end times process takes place, the wicked will not understand it, but the righteous will have full knowledge. Is that cool or what? God's giving you full knowledge. He's going to show you what's happening. And I think you're going to see it go probably to some type of identification thing, to some type of eventually the Antichrist bringing in some type of mark that's going to be happening. And eventually it's going to be to where it says in Revelation 13, you won't even be able to go shopping. You can't buy or sell. Kroger's won't let you in without the chip. I need to make sure you've been vaccinated, you know? You know, we look at it and go, yay, we're going to be free from masks. This can also be used against us. The fact that masks do no good can be used against us in a great way. Why? Because now, since masks don't work, well, we have to do something, right? We have to do something. Everybody's got to get the shot. And so it's going to happen. Now, we're all going to die. Run, Chicken Little. Oh, everybody calm down. Right? We're not all going to die. Well, we all will eventually. But it's going to be on God's terms. And the rapture is going to take place before all this. I don't want you to panic. I want you to have information. But I don't want you to panic. The Lord's going to take us out of here before everybody's forced to get this. And, you know, so what? We can't fly. Start driving again, you know. Until they make us all get batteries, and then we'll be thumbing down the road for those who have a full battery or whatever. I don't know, but the bottom line is there may be some stuff we have to put up with for a while until they get us out of, until the Lord gets us out of here. But don't panic. God is good. God is gracious. And so he's telling us what's going to happen, and so we can rest in him and know that he's in control. And again, these are things, again, that take place, I believe, in full scale after we're out of here. So there's the introduction of the Antichrist, the first seal. I'll go faster. Second seal, notice this. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now notice this, he doesn't come and bring war, he just takes the peace away. Now, the Bible says right now, you're the salt of the earth. God is using you to restrain wickedness in the world. If the church being here in America and the church being around the world is restraining wickedness, and we saw what we saw in our streets over the last few months, what's going to happen when we're gone? Who's going to restrain? Who's going to hold it back? Nobody. And it's going to be worldwide. What we saw happening in our streets is going to be worldwide. In America and around the world, it's going to be violence. And the Bible says violence will increase in the last days. Again, all of this happens after the rapture. I want to keep this in context. How do I know that? Because we'll never know the Antichrist, it tells us in 2 Thessalonians. We'll be gone before he's revealed. He's revealed here at the beginning of chapter 6, okay? When the seals are opened, he's going to come on the scene. That's the first thing that happens. The Antichrist bursts on the scene. And so we have to be out of here. So when you read these things, and I talk about some of the seriousness of it, I don't want to freak you out. You're not going to be here, but I want you to know what's going to happen. And it says people kill each other with a great sword. And you think about what's it going to be like again. Like I said, once we're gone, there's going to be this destruction. Now, also, as we unfold this, and I'll move quicker as we go through here, don't worry. But as we unfold this, I want you to note something. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls overlap. If you try to read the seals in chronological order, which they are in chronological order, but if you try to add then after that you think, oh, here come the trumpets, chronological order after that. Then after that, here come the bowls. No. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls will all be in chronological order, but they overlap. As the seals get started, the trumpets are already underway. As the trumpets are underway, the bowls are already underway. They're all going to kind of mix together in like this big bowl of God dealing with the earth as he does this. And that's why you're going to see by the time we get to the sixth seal, you're looking at what happens right before the Lord comes back in glory. And you wonder, how could that be? We haven't even had the trumpets and the bowls yet. It's because it's all mixed together. And so I want you to understand that. So there it is, peace taken away, and now we see more violence in the streets. Notice here the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, come and see. And so I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil in wine. Now, first of all, wheat is the good stuff back in that day. Barley was the bad stuff. You gave barley to your animals. The wheat was for the people. Now, I know today we eat barley, and so it's kind of a little bit different to some degree, but they thought the barley was the worst. So the people got the wheat, the animals got the barley. And so notice the price. You can get three quarts of barley for a denarius and only one quart of wheat for a denarius. The best way to sum up of a denarius, it's a day's wage. Think about your day's wage. What do you make right now, okay? Whatever you make in a day, that'll buy you one quart. That's those little jars of wheat. Not even enough really to feed one person some bread all day. You got six in your family, like I do. You need six of those just to survive. 6 days' wages. I would need to increase my salary times six per day. You see what's happening here? Famine. When all the violence breaks out, when all people begin to fight each other in the wars, you're going to see food become scarce. It doesn't even mention toilet paper, but it's got to be here somewhere. Probably in the language, something, all toilet paper will be gone, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is, it's going to be people fighting over food, and it's going to get really ugly. You're going to see worldwide famine for a day's wage, and it's going to be all, everything, again, people just starving. But it says, notice this, do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, again, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, oil and wine, really, who's going to need that so much when they're simply trying to survive and get food? But number two, it would appear that those that are the super wealthy will be okay during this time. They'll have their stockpile, their piles of money. Even if they don't have a stockpile, they'll be able to grab it and hold on to it. So there will be a possible temporary benefit for those that are super rich during that time, but it won't last long. And now the third seal is complete. He continues opening up this scroll, the fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now, again, there's going to be this destruction. There's going to be death worldwide when this takes place. And notice it says, as people die, Hades is there to scoop them up. You remember what Hades is. We've talked about this in the past. Hades is a literal place, the Bible tells us. Jesus talks about it in Luke 16. It's spoken of again where Jesus ascended to the heart of the earth. Peter talks about it. Ephesians talks about it. Luke 16 talks about it. It's all over the Bible. It's referred to as the pit you go down to at death or whatever. And there was, again, for believers, paradise. And again, now we go straight to heaven. But for the unbeliever, they literally go to a holding tank the Bible calls Hades, and they're held there until judgment day. Everyone that dies without Christ, even today, they go to Hades, and they're held there. Not hell. Hell is the lake of fire. That's later on. We'll discuss that further on down the road when we get further down the road in Revelation. But notice this. He's saying as death is happening to the world, they're going to be scooped up and put into this holding tank in Hades until judgment day. So it makes sense that Hades would be following death. And this is what's amazing. Look at this. Power was given over to kill a fourth of the earth. Now, we'll talk about the ways they're going to be killed in just a second, but a fourth of the earth. Guys, the latest estimate is 7.8 billion. I'm going to round it up to 8 because I'm not real good at math, and that helps me. That's 2 billion people that will die when that seal's open. 2 billion. There are some that claim 200 and something thousand have died of coronavirus. I don't know. People say the numbers have been changed, whatever. Okay, not good either way, right? In the Spanish flu in 1918, 60 million people died. In this violence that'll be taking place during this time when this seal's open worldwide, 2 billion people will die. Now you know why Jesus said men's hearts will be failing them from fear. Now look how they're going to be dying. Here's the three ways. Number one, with the sword. So people will be fighting. There'll be violence, probably war and personal violence in the streets. Number two, with hunger and with death. Some just dying because of illnesses, diseases, whatever, maybe not getting the care that they need. With hunger, again, we talked about that, the scales. There's going to be worldwide famine. And this last one is especially kind of freaky, and by the beasts of the earth. I mean, you think, wow, I mean, God said that there's going to be enough animal attacks that he included it prophetically as to how part of that 2 billion is going to die. What does that mean? I don't know. I mean, maybe one of these Hitchcock movies is finally going to come to pass, right? You know, I don't think it'll be like a horde of doxies chasing us down or something like that. I think that's not too scary, right? And I don't mean to make light of it, but the bottom line is it's going to be some serious, serious things here. That's the fourth seal. Fifth seal. Notice when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Now, this is interesting because people often ask me, will anybody get saved during the Great Tribulation? Absolutely. After the rapture takes place, Revelation shows us multitudes will be getting saved. An initial 144,000 Jews will get saved. We'll see that a little bit later on. But there's also going to be multitudes of Gentiles getting saved. They miss the rapture, but they're going to give their life to Christ after the rapture. And when all this stuff starts happening, and many of them are going to be your family and friends that you've been sharing with for years, and like, "Get away from me, you religious fanatic." Suddenly they're going to go, "Oh my goodness, they really are gone. These tragedies really are happening in the world. I need to cry out to God." Now, I wish our family and friends that it didn't take that to get them into heaven. But if that's what it takes, it's worth it. I believe this is an ultimate act of love by God to bring these judgments. A lot of people, how could a God of love bring wrath? I'm saying this, how could a God of love not do what's necessary to break the hard-hearted so they can come to heaven? So I see it as an act of mercy, although the Bible does say it's the wrath of the Lamb. And by the way, how angry does a lamb have to get to become wrathful? The Lord is gracious. He's gentle. But even a lamb pushed to the limit, right? I'm not sure what they could do. But how long? These are these right now that are going to die during the Great Tribulation. And they've been put to death for their faith. Many of them have lost their life because they wouldn't take the mark of the beast. We'll see that later in Revelation as well. And now they're standing before the throne of God. And they're saying, "Lord, how long do you get those guys?" And he's going to say, "Don't worry, I'm going to get them. In my timing."
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that he doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying his commands, because he wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation, so join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.